Our CBS Sunday Morning Podcast is sponsored by Edward Jones. College tours with your oldest daughter, updating the kitchen to the appropriate decade, retiring on the coast. Life is full of moments that matter, and Edward Jones helps you make the most of them. That's why every Edward Jones financial advisor works with you to build personalized strategies for now and down the road. So when your next moment arrives, big or small, you're ready for it. Life is for living. Let's partner for all of it. Learn more at edwardjones.com.
I'm Jane Pauley, and this is Sunday Morning. With all the troubles we see all over the face of the earth these days, where to find some peace and quiet? How about under the sea, in the company of a creature that can truly be said to be well-armed? Chip Reed makes the introduction.
They're graceful, smart, and very unusual.
You would really have to go to outer space to come up with someone more different from us than this.
They say this is like being kissed by an alien. And they are right. Ahead on Sunday Morning. Wow.
We'll be hearing from Carlos Ghosn this morning, the man behind the caper that's captivated the world. Just how did the accused auto executive make good on his escape from Japan? Charlie Daggett has many, many questions.
My only hope of being able to defend myself, get out of the country.
Facing charges of financial misconduct, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn claims he had no chance of a fair trial in Japan. So what does he say to the people who speculate he smuggled himself out of the country in a box?
Everybody's talking about the box,
well, good,
except you.
Good for them. Good for them. Yeah, but I'm the only one who knows exactly what happened. So
later on Sunday Morning, Carlos Ghosn speaks out on his great escape.
Our Sunday profile, Kim Novak, a star from the past who's happy to have left Hollywood behind. With Mo Rocco, we'll be paying her a visit.
Kim Novak was one of Hollywood's great screen sirens of the 1950s. But these days, she's more at home with her art and her animals.
Are you kind of a hippie chick at heart?
Yes. I am.
Later on Sunday Morning...
Must have been... Oh, no.
Kim Novak.
Way into the...
Is a proposed federal law protecting the rights of working women during pregnancy... long overdue. As many as 250,000 expectant mothers every year certainly think so. Jan Crawford will have some of their stories.
It's supposed to be one of life's most joyous events.
It really is an economically disastrous decision for many working women.
Getting pregnant can be an economically disastrous decision.
Absolutely.
Ahead on Sunday Morning... why so many women are losing their jobs just because they want to start a family.
Christine Johnson visits with Grammy nominee Gary Clark Jr. Seth Doan explains why pistachios are green gold. Steve Hartman uncovers a new branch on his family tree.
And more, all coming up when our Sunday Morning podcast continues.
It's well-armed and often misunderstood, and it's a creature our Chip Reed has been getting to know, an animal so unusual it's even celebrated in song.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
It's one of the most bizarre creatures on Earth, and not just because it looks so different. The octopus can camouflage itself in a flash, squeeze its entire body through a one-inch hole, and their brains? That's right, brains, with an S. An octopus has one large central brain and eight mini-brains, one in each arm.
Octopuses are so brilliant.
Author and naturalist Cy Montgomery believes their intelligence is almost off the charts.
We give them the same toys to play with that we give our children. They love to play. Play is one of those characteristics of higher minds.
As if on cue.
There she is.
Oh, beautiful Rudy.
Rudy, a giant Pacific octopus and one of the stars of the New England Aquarium in Boston, seemed to want to play with us.
Some people go, ooh, that's creepy. You go.
I say this is one of the most beautiful creatures on this planet. One of the smartest, one of the most interesting, and one of the most alien.
In fact, they're portrayed in movies as aliens.
That's right, and as monsters.
Yes, Hollywood octopuses have torn down the Golden Gate Bridge. They've destroyed ships.
Hello, beastie.
And feasted on movie stars. Montgomery says it's unfair to demonize them.
You would really have to go to outer space to come up with someone more different from us than this. Their mouths are in their armpits. They have three hearts. They have blue blood. And the grace. I mean, who has grace like this?
Montgomery spent countless hours here studying these otherworldly beings while writing her book, The Soul of an Octopus.
Do you believe the octopus has a soul?
I believe if I've got a soul, this octopus has a soul.
And that, she claims, is not the only thing they have in common with humans.
When I met an octopus for the first time, I was so struck by the fact that she was just as curious about me as I was about her.
She knows me. Wow. Look at that.
May I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello there.
We went behind the scenes to see for ourselves with the help of senior aquarium biologist Bill Murphy. It turns out that calling an octopus curious is an understatement.
She's more interested in you than the food.
That's scary.
It felt like she wanted me to join her in her octopus's garden.
She is powerful.
Yeah, you feel the pull of the muscle.
A big part of Murphy's job is keeping Rudy from getting bored.
Because they're so smart, we try and keep them mentally stimulated, and interactions like this help with that, because they're figuring us out and who we are and what we're doing.
There are about 300 species of octopus, but the giant Pacific octopus is the largest, averaging 16 feet in length and 110 pounds. It's also the longest-lived octopus. Even so, its lifespan is only about 3 to 5 years.
They have such personalities. Each octopus is different. So when you work this closely with them and you're interacting with them on a regular basis, you build a relationship with them.
That's got to be difficult that they live such short lives.
It is. It's very difficult. But you enjoy the time you have.
To learn more, we headed down to Cape Cod, where we met Brett Grassi of the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, pretty good day in the office, huh?
He's responsible for the care and feeding of the lab's octopuses and comes here to stock up on their favorite food, tiny grass shrimp.
So kind of poke and move along?
Yeah, exactly.
We got some jumping around in there.
Okay. Next stop, the beach. For another octopus delicacy, crabs.
Three, two, one.
Whoa, look at them all.
There you go, just grab and scoop.
Back at the lab, the day was about to get a lot better for a small California two-spot octopus, and a lot worse for one of those crabs.
This is going to be quick.
Bon appetit.
Don't blink.
There's the lunge, so...
Of all of the octopus's oddities, perhaps the most extraordinary is its talent for disguise. Watch that again in reverse slow motion. The octopus changes its shape, colors, patterns, even the texture of its skin to look like seaweed, and does it in the blink of an eye. It's called dynamic camouflage.
I would argue that dynamic camouflage is a form of intelligence.
That video was shot by Roger Hanlon, senior scientist and a top octopus researcher at the Marine Biological Laboratory, who recently gave a TED talk on octopus intelligence that went viral.
It doesn't just happen instinctively. They actually think and decide how to camouflage themselves.
That's right. This is not a reflex. This is a decision-making process. They're taking into account the surrounds for camouflage, but also an approaching threat, and they're calculating all along about what they're going to do next.
For example, the moving rock trick, the hide-and-seek trick, and the suit of armor made of shells. As a scientist, Hanlon is skeptical about attributing human-like emotions to the octopus or comparing their level of intelligence to ours.
See them go all dark.
But he does say they are stunningly creative.
This is a complex animal. It's making decisions all of the time. That takes a big brain.
A big brain in a unique and mysterious creature that scientists are only beginning to understand.
It feels like shaking hands with an alien, just like they say.
This is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
This week, Stephen Law, ally of Mitch McConnell and one of Washington's biggest midterm money men. List for me the two Senate races where you think Republicans have the best chance of taking a Democratic seat away.
Nevada, New Hampshire.
Not Georgia.
Well, Georgia's right up there, but New Hampshire is a surprise. In New Hampshire, people really just kind of don't like Maggie Haskell.
For more from this week's conversation, follow The Takeout with Major Garrett on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now a page from our Sunday Morning Almanac, January 12th, 1949, 71 years ago today.
Arthur Godfrey and his friends.
The day Arthur Godfrey and his friends debuted on the fledgling CBS television network. Already a familiar voice on the radio.
Hello, 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 hello. This is Arthur Godfrey.
Godfrey first made the jump to television the previous year. And by the early 1950s, he was a CBS mainstay. With his folksy style and way with the ukulele.
On top of Old Smoky.
Arthur Godfrey was riding high, backed up by a team of supporting entertainers, including the popular young singer Julius LaRosa.
Magic tricks to entertain the folks.
No!
But after LaRosa missed a rehearsal, and went so far as to hire his own manager, Godfrey struck back during the radio portion of his morning show.
And I would like Julie, if he would, to sing me that song called Manhattan.
LaRosa dutifully sang the song.
Summer journeys to Niagara and to other places.
Only to get a big surprise from Godfrey when he was done.
Thanks ever so much, Julie. That was Julie Swan's song with us. He goes now out on his own, as his own star.
Godfrey's abrupt firing of Julius LaRosa was a media sensation. Though he defended his move by accusing LaRosa of, as he put it, a lack of humility, Godfrey's warm and friendly reputation was called into question. In 1959, ratings in decline, Arthur Godfrey left the air for surgery to remove a cancerous lung. He never fully returned. Arthur Godfrey died of emphysema and pneumonia in 1983 at the age of 79. His prominent place in early television history, forever secure. The world has more questions than answers about former auto executive Carlos Ghosn's recent journey from arrest in Japan to apparent safe refuge in Lebanon. A mystery made all the more intriguing, Charlie Daggett tells us, because of speculation he smuggled himself out in a box.
You don't get as far as Carlos Ghosn has come without thinking outside the box.
It was a big risk that you took.
I know, but it was a bigger risk to stay.
A risk that would mean thinking inside the box. And if they ever make Ghosn's escape into a Hollywood movie, they'll have to begin with the words, based on a true story, to get audiences to believe the plot. The real story goes that the former Nissan CEO was under house arrest in Tokyo and 24-hour surveillance when he gave Japanese security services the slip on December 29th. He boarded a bullet train undetected for a 3-hour trip to Osaka Airport. Here's where the mission began to look impossible.
Was there a point during that escape that you were thinking, this is crazy, this could all go very wrong?
Oh, I knew that I was taking risks. I knew that if I was putting people around me in the loop, not only they were taking a risk, but also the risk of any slippage, any rumor, any leak would be very high, and it would kill any project like this. So I had to work by myself only with people who are going to operate. You know, there was nobody else. This was the condition. And the other condition is you need to think fast, act fast, and make something simple. Daring, but simple.
This was the most difficult decision of my life.
He doesn't dare share the details for fear of incriminating his cohorts. But it reportedly included a team of around 15 people, including a former U.S. Green Beret, and a price tag running into the millions, and a box. This box.
Can we talk about the box?
Was there a box? No, I'm not going to talk about.
Everybody's talking about the box.
Well, good.
Except
for
you.
Good for them. Yeah, but I'm the only one who knows exactly what happened. So.
What investigators believe happened is that the industry giant stuffed himself into a box for concert equipment, holes cut in the bottom so he could breathe. Here's what it looked like when a Japanese news reporter tried to get into a box of the same size. Ghosn was then spirited away on a private jet bound for Istanbul en route to Beirut, where we spoke this past Friday.
Was there a moment in the box that you were thinking, what's become of my life?
You know, I'm a very realistic person. I know that, success don't last forever. Fortune don't last forever. There are ups and downs in life. You have to confront tragedy as strongly as you confront success. And even though I didn't have a lot of shortfall, this one was a big one, and it was a test for my resolve and for my character.
How the auto titan fell into trouble is as compelling as how he got out of it. He was hailed a hero when he pulled Nissan back from the brink of bankruptcy in the late 1990s.
When you make an investment, you're doing it for the long term.
The CEO with the rock star swagger enjoyed the trappings of success, hobnobbing with the global elite in Davos, bobbing around on his $10 million yacht, globetrotting on board private jets, even hosting a Marie Antoinette-themed party at the Palace of Versailles. But when profits began to plummet in 2018, Nissan executives accused him of not disclosing exactly how much he was taking out of the company, among other charges. He was arrested and charged with financial wrongdoing. He said authorities kept pushing back his trial date and that he was barred from even communicating with his wife. And in a country with a 99% plus conviction rate, he says he never stood a chance.
So I'm sitting here alone in a country which is not mine, in a system that I don't understand. I have everything, all red signals everywhere. I said my only hope of being able to defend myself, get out of the country.
Make a run for it, regardless of the risk. At Japan's request, Interpol has issued what it calls a red notice, not only for Ghosn, but his wife Carol.
Whether or not you were guilty of the charges before you fled, you are certainly guilty now of fleeing. You're a fugitive of justice. What's the future hold for you?
I wouldn't say I'm fugitive of justice. I'm fugitive of injustice. That's the way I will put it. I don't feel bad about it because the way I've been treated and the way I was looking at the system, frankly, I don't feel any guilt.
Last week, the Lebanese government issued their own order, restricting Ghosn from leaving the country until further notice. Not that he's anxious to go anywhere. He's got property here, he grew up here, and remains something of a local hero.
And after I landed in Beirut on 30th of December, it was kind of rebirth for me. It was like, I was breathing again.
A new life for now. And Carlos Ghosn says he's willing to face the charges and answer to everything eventually, just not in Japan.
Just yes or no, innocent of all the charges?
Yes.
You plan the escape yourself?
Yes.
Were Americans involved in the escape?
No comment.
Think we can look into that as we will. Has Hollywood approached you about your story?
Yes.
Is that a reality? Do you see that happening?
Why not?
And my last question is the first question. The box. Was there a box?
No comment.
Now streaming.
I used to believe in progress, that no matter what we do, we just end up back at the start.
We're in crazy time.
The Paramount Plus original series, The Good Fight, returns for its final season.
The point isn't the end. The point is winning.
Yes!
There are bad people in the world. The best way to protect the good people is to convict the bad.
So here's to us.
The Good Fight, the final season, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.